of you who are new or visiting us, we are going through a series on Acts of the Apostle, and today we are looking at chapter 19. And the last time, we remember Paul was on his second mission journey, and through many trials, he finally landed in Ephesus, in which he was quite welcomed by the people there. But then the Lord so-called led Paul back to Jerusalem. But as we look at chapter 19, this is the beginning of his third missionary journey. And then at this time, we know that Paul came back to Ephesus itself. I think before we look at this text today, we all know from what Sonia was sharing about us making disciples. We are here today because someone made us disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? And what a privilege we have that we can make others disciples of Jesus Christ as well. After all, Jesus told us and called us as light of the world, and that we are called both light and salt, and we are supposed to go into the world to bring the light and bring the truth and flavor people's life with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But sometimes, if we are more aware, we realize Christians like us sometimes can be quite disconnected with the world. If I ask you right now, who are your closest five friends? I will think a good 80% of us will say, my friends in church. Am I right? Right? Very few of us will say, I have a close friend who is not yet a believer. Most of us, it says that once you're in church after 10 years, you lose all your so-called non-Christian friends. And all your friends become so-called mostly church friends. But this is something that should not happen to us. I think we need to grow and continue to build friendship everywhere. But because of this disconnection, sometimes for us as believers, what happens is that, you know, we end up focusing on our own salvation, or we end up focusing on our own ministry or what we're doing in this church. And because of this disconnection, people in the world think Christians are very strange people. Have you ever encountered? Have you ever gone to your workplace or anywhere you are and tell people you are a Christian? Do they look at the ceiling and roll their eyes? Or they are so happy that you are a Christian, right? And sometimes because people are so disconnected with us in terms of our faith, they often will say things like Christians are hypocritical or judgmental or self-righteous. Ever got that? You know, my friend who's a pastor once told me, you know, the best form of evangelism is to tell people you are Christian and then don't behave like a jerk. Think about it. Sometimes people don't like so-called Christians is because we, at times, hopefully not us, but we know sometimes there are believers who act like a jerk. Don't look at your neighbor, just look at Jesus Christ. Now, and this is not supposed to be the way things are supposed to be. We are supposed to be the light of the world and salt of the earth. And we are supposed to naturally draw people unto the Lord. Because in the dark, the only thing people look at in the dark is light, isn't it? If you are served a bland food, what do you want to put? Salt. If people in the world, their life is tasteless, they want something or someone that can help make a difference for them. If people in the world are living in darkness, they need someone who knows the way. Amen? And guess what? We are all positioned to be light of the world and salt of the earth. And sometimes as a church, no, we have the desire to make everything Christian. Now, by itself, it's not wrong. But think about it. If everything about us, we want to Christianize, so what happened? We want to vote for a Christian party. We want Christian education. We want Christian music. We want Christian movies. Every one of our friends are Christians. One shade. And that's, by itself, it's not wrong. But the issue is this, is that we are not called to produce everything in our atmosphere or in culture Christian, but rather, ultimately, we are called to show people the kingdom. Do you agree? We are not calling people to be Christians, full stop. We just want Christian party or Christian music or Christian movies, but we want people to know the kingdom. And that once they know the kingdom of God, they experience the kingdom culture. And what is the kingdom culture? In one short line, it is they know how deep the Father's love is for them. When people do not know the Father's love, they behave like orphans. And sometimes as us, as believers, we behave like orphans. We are spiritual orphans, even though we have a Father who loves us, and that we have Jesus Christ who has done everything to bring us unto salvation, to reconcile us to the Father, and yet we can behave like prodigals when we have been invited to experience the kingdom, to encounter God afresh, to know His power. And so when we do not have this understanding of the kingdom, the church ends up looking like an exclusive club. Right? Sometimes, I do not know about you, have you ever invited people to church and they say, I'm not good enough? Or sometimes we resist coming back to church because we say, I need to sort out my life. Oh, I think I'm the only one here, right? I'm glad every one of you are in good shape with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are times in my season in my life, I feel like I'm not good enough for church, or I need to sort out my life. I need to clean up first before I go for a bath, you know, kind of thing. And that was my theology. But the truth is this, when the kingdom is our main message, we are inviting people to encounter the King who comes for the poor, the downtrodden, the sick, and the broken, and the helpless. When we truly believe that the reality of the kingdom is now here, people will realize this King has come for them. Does our friends, our family members know Jesus has come for them? He has not called them to Him first, but He came and walked among them. So how do we as Christians interact with people who do not hold the same beliefs as us, or they don't even share the same values as us, and sometimes they may even live life contrary to what we believe as believers? There's only one thing we can do. That is to show love and practice love. Simple answer, but most time we still can mess it up. Agree? You know? And Acts chapter 19 opened for us how Paul himself has gone back to Ephesus and to begin a 3-year stay. And now, in that journey in Ephesus, things begin to unfold differently. If you want to know a bit about Ephesus, it's a major city by the port. And it's famous as a tourist site because there is a very big temple called the Temple of Artemis. In some Bible version, it says the Temple of Diana. It is one of the 7 wonders of the world in those days, matching that of the Pyramid of Egypt, as well as the Hanging Garden of Babylon. It was one of the 7 wonders. And so there were tourists who come to that city. There was spiritual pilgrimage being made because people believe Ephesus was the birthplace of the goddess Artemis. So in one sense, they're coming to a city where people at that time believed this was where God was born, or the goddess was born. And here, they want to come to worship this goddess. But here was Paul coming into the city, bring about a spiritual shift and transformation. So look with me in Acts chapter 19. We'll read the first slide. Today my sermon is Into the Word, Into the World. And so it says here, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. Then he found some disciples and said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all." When Paul entered into this city called Ephesus, the first people he came across was these 12 men. And they were believers, but somehow they do not have a full idea of the gospel. They were what I call following the teaching of John the Baptist, and they did not know the baptism of Jesus. And so here, Paul began to explain that John was a forerunner, the one who was preparing the people for the Messiah, but now the Messiah has come. And if they really have received baptism through Jesus Christ, they will encounter both his presence and power in their life. And that's why Paul asked a very interesting question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? This is a good question. Ask your neighbor, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Hey, don't look at me, look at your neighbor. Right. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? The answer must be yes. If the answer is no, then afterwards we're going to have salvation line. We're going to pray for you to receive Jesus Christ. But did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Because here, they have a partial understanding of what it means to understand the gospel. And some of us as believers, we can grow in church for many years, and sometimes all of us can suffer from that myopia. We can have a very partial understanding of the gospel. And when we have a partial understanding of the gospel, it makes us what we call powerless, or we are confused. We're not sure what we have in Christ. Because without the fullness of the gospel, we will suffer from shallow Christianity. And so here was Paul telling them, look, you need to experience God in a very real and tangible way. The day comes when we believe Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit now lives in us. Sometimes there are believers who think the Holy Spirit comes later. But rather, the day we believe, there's a tangible sense that the hole in our heart is now filled up. We no longer feel rejected, we are accepted by the Father. We have that confidence and the joy that today is a new beginning because the Holy Spirit now lives in me and helping me to grow from grace to grace. So here sometimes, you know, there are people who think the Christian life is all about logic, you know, or we need a lot of proof texting. But I'm telling you, well, there's a place for us to exegete the Bible. There's a place for us to preach the Bible verse by verse. But there is also a greater place for all of us to experience the power and the life of the Spirit. Can I have an amen? You know, I didn't grow up that way. I grew up in a very conservative church. And I've been in church for many years. It was only much later I can tell you where I encountered the Holy Spirit. Please don't condemn me. Pray for me. I experienced really the power of the Holy Spirit on my last year in the Bible school. For almost 4 years, everything that I heard was everyone was wrong. Every denomination, every church, everyone was wrong. Only we are right. Guess who are the right one? Methodist. Now, and I was imagining myself, like, my goodness, I'm going to become a pastor. And if I got to spend my time condemning every denomination, every church, that is not a way for your ministry. And I was very dry. And I was hoping to have a fresh encounter of God. And I was sharing this with my classmate. I'm feeling very dry. In 6 months' time, I'm going to go to become a pastor. And what do I do? And this guy came to me and said, you should read this book. And this book was the Life About Smith Wigglesworth. And that book changed my life. As I read it, right, he was a man, he was a simple man, not much education. He was a plumber, but the Lord works through his life powerfully. And so one day I was reading it, I can sense a deep hunger, a deep thirst for more of God. And I say, Father, what this man got, I also want it. And this was the first time I heard from God. Why do you want what he God, when you have all of me? Ooh. You know, sometimes we look at some great power, great ministers, or I wish I had the anointing. But here the Father is saying to all of us, why do you want to have what that person have when you have all of me? And I say, oh, that's a better prayer. Lord, I want to have all of you. And 2 nights later, in my sleep, I begin to pray in tongues. I begin to speak in tongues. And, you know, I was shikara bahara on my way to great, great joy. And next day, I woke up and told my friend, oh, I think I spoke in tongues. He said, that cannot be. I said, why not? Because it must happen inside a church. That's how conservative we were. If you speak in your bedroom, most likely it's an evil spirit. Because only God moved inside the church, not outside the church. I said, oh dear, now I have evil spirit in me. That is my greatest fear. And I was praying, Lord, was that you last night? Right? I'm not sure. Now I'm confused. Right? Confused. Because you lack the full revelation of the gospel. And what happened was next day, my friend came and told me, Richard, I also spoke in tongues last night in my sleep. I guess it's really God. I said, oh, my experience is the devil. Your experience is God. Yeah, because I'm more mature than you. And both of us, okay, and through our foolishness, through our so-called partial understanding, God began to move more and more in the grace. Amen? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? Next slide. Verse 8. And when he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God, and when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Gentiles. And so here was Paul, as he had now had 12 so-called 12 new disciples, right? He's into disciple-making movement. He's now had 12 new disciples. He said, now I'm going to the synagogue. I'm going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so for 3 months, he was there every Saturday. But then there were people who resisted. And so what Paul did, he ran a hall from Tyrannus. Tyrannus at that time was a very famous philosopher. His name actually means tyrant. Well, imagine your teacher is called tyrant. Everyone say, oh yeah, now I know some teachers was like that. Now, Tyrannus lectures from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Because the Ephesians was very famous for taking afternoon nap, because the culture or the climate at that time, it get pretty hot during summer and people sleep actually from 11 to 4 p.m. So the Ephesians was more well known for sleeping in the daytime than the nighttime. And so Paul got a good booking. He said, well, since no one using the hall in the afternoon, I shall begin to lecture. And he began to lecture in the afternoon from 1 to 4 p.m. One thing about the gospel, it changes life. And so Paul began to lecture from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the heat of the day. But Paul could do it. And that's why later he wrote to the Ephesians saying what? That the Spirit works mightily in him. And so what happened was, people did not naturally come to his classes, because remember, culturally, they sleep during that time. But over time, more and more people began to join him. They changed their so-called lifestyle habit. They began to make a point to come and say to Paul, Paul, we want to know more about Jesus Christ. You know, we don't want to sleep now. We don't take our siesta. Could you speak to us more about Jesus Christ? In one sense, church, this is our hall of Tyrannus. We begin our service at 3 p.m. Remember how we used to worship the Lord at 10 a.m. in the morning? Oh, those was like a long time ago. Now, in Sunday afternoon, you come to church. Sunday morning, you are just rolling from your bed one end to one end. You're very happy ironing your bed. Honestly, to tell you the truth, 1 year ago, we were talking among ourselves as leaders. They say, we couldn't change our worship time from 10 to 3 p.m. I wonder how many people will come. God forgive us for our lack of faith. You say, well, Pastor, they were telling me, you know, Sarah was saying, well, Pastor, maybe 50% people will come. 50% people will come. Oh. And I say, how much money do we have left? You say, well, about 2 years. I say, oh, we got 2 years to fail. Let's do it. But praise be to God, more than 95% of us came together. Amen. Some of you say, I'm giving up my afternoon nap to come to church. It's okay. You can nap here, but you are still in church. Right? Spirit call to spirit. I believe that. But this is what I'm saying to you. Sometimes this is our struggle, is that here, it says here that after 2 years, whole of Asia came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What was Paul trying to do in chapter 15? Remember, chapter 16? He wanted to go where? Asia. And he was stopped twice by the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. And then he got a vision to go Macedonia. But imagine in the span of 5 to 6 years, he says what here? Whole of Asia came to know Jesus Christ. God's strategy sometimes go against our best plan. God has this vision that he, instead of Paul going to city to city, the Lord told Paul, you start a Bible school here, people from everywhere will come, that the people you're supposed to reach will be reached in the shortest time possible. Amen? And this is what happened to Paul. The thing is this, is that sometimes we can say to ourselves, you know, look at the Ephesians. They come to Paul's classes for 2 years every day, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And how often, as a pastor, I'll tell you the truth, people will tell me, no, I'm so tired to come to church, or I'm so tired to attend Bible study. You know, I'm not guilt-tripping everybody. What I'm saying to you guys is, we have forgotten the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. that it is He who energizes us. We must understand the power of the Spirit of God and pay heed to what Paul is saying to us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. What then is the outcome of Paul's ministry? Look at the next slide. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them. I like this part. Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the Holy Spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and over-empowered them, so they fled out of their house naked and wounded. Next slide. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear fell upon them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Church, when heaven knows your heart, hell knows your name. When heavens know your heart, hells know your name. Here was Paul. When he came to the city, there is now a spiritual shift. There is now a transformation of the city. He came to change the culture. People used to nap, now no longer nap. They come to hear the gospel, and the gospel spread throughout whole Asia. Within that short span of time, whole Asia came to know Jesus Christ. But much more, here was Paul testifying greatly who Jesus Christ is. And the Holy Spirit validated Paul's ministry through healing the sick, through exorcising demons. And one thing I'll tell you guys is demonic activities are very real. You know, from where I come from Singapore, it was a common thing to see the demonic activities happening all the time. You know, sometimes in the West, I think our biggest difficulty is we need a double conversion. First, we are converted to be, first we are born again, and then we need to be taught there is a thing called the spirit realm. But where I came from, the spirit realm is very real. And I thank God for my grandmother from young, as far as I remember, was 5 years old. She always taught me, look out for the devil. She didn't put fear in me, but he said that you can, if you really walk with the Lord, demonic activities will manifest itself. All you became very quiet. Okay? But it's true. It's real. Right. And this son of Sceva, what happened was this. They saw Paul exorcising people in the name of Jesus Christ, but they thought the name of Jesus is a formula. They use it as an incantation. While the name of Jesus is above every other name, the name of Jesus, when it is in the mouth of every believer, we have the authority and power to declare that the devil, the evil one, will submit to the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, so, remember now, I left Bible school. Now I'm full of faith, full of grace, full of the gospel, full of the Holy Spirit. And then I went to this first church of mine. Within 3 months, one of my youth began to manifest, a younger manifest a demonic presence in her. And here I was, just after service, and we're having our youth ministry. Suddenly, this girl went screaming away, and all my youth leader was frightened. They were saying, Pastor, this something wrong with this girl. This girl is beginning to manifest. And so, as a good pastor, I called all my leaders to come. Oh, this is something, something's happening. And this lady, God is my witness. I don't want to scare any one of you. Those of you who are below 18 years old, please leave this place right now. But what happened is this. She began to walk on four, like a cat. And there was physical manifestation that her, doctors are here can tell you, our shoulder blades are flat, right? But when she walked, it jutted up, looking like a cat. And she just walked around us, ready to pound on us. Guess where my leaders was? All hiding behind me. I was much broader and rounder in those days. So I said, Pastor, you go first. So I went. Imagine, this is Jason. When you're not the come, demonstration. Come. So y'all can imagine. So here this, she was prowling. So suddenly I came, she stood up. And next thing she did, she leaped over me. Can you see that? Thank you. No, don't jump. Risk management. Now, the thing is this. She just, I tell you, if there is a God, you better believe him right now, the kind of thing. And thanks be to God, because of what I was taught, because what I understood, you know, that person was delivered. I'm not asking you to look for demons behind every tree, okay? But it's possible there's a demon behind every tree. But don't go looking for it. But if the devil manifests itself, don't be afraid, because you have the name of Jesus in you, amen? And as you move, and I can tell you over the years in ministry, you know, I don't do this to spook people, because this is what I do. I can sense the things of the Spirit. You know, there are times I walk, I can sense this person is under bondage, is under oppression. But I don't go around telling you, you're under a bondage, you're under oppression, there's a devil behind you. There are times that you can see it. But you want to counsel them by the word of God. You want to give them the truth. You want to give them the gospel. You remind them who they are, their identity is in Christ. You know, I remember that time, the era, you know, we trained literally half our church how to do deliverance ministry. And people go, they come back with all kinds of testimony that people have been set free. How many of you want to be trained in deliverance ministry? No. Not some of you. Okay, there's manifestation already. Now, the thing is this. Demons are more fearful of believers than believers should be fearful of demons. But I stop here where it is. Some of you are not listening to sermon anymore. You're just... But what I'm saying to you, when people saw what Paul did, it says the whole city came to know the real power that Paul has. Remember, this was the HQ of the temple of Artemis. This is where all the evil spirits, the hives of all the demons are there. But when Paul began to manifest the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the preaching of the gospel, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, people who are believers, who have hiked so-called their spells book, helped things away, began to burn it, and began to say, there is a real God. 5,000 pieces of silver is today's what we call currency. It's about $5 million. Imagining burning books that tells you all this witchcraft stuff. Why did they do that? Because they know what they have, those books, those scrolls, those spells, give them a false sense of security. Only Jesus gives us a real sense of security. And later you read the chapter, you begin to realize there was Artemis whose business was affected, because Artemis and all his silversmith, they were all making idols of Diana. And because more and more people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, less and less people came to Ephesus to worship Diana in the temple, Artemis in the temple, they began to worship the true Lord Jesus Christ. Sales was bad. Their business was threatened, and then became a riot. This is the thing. Right, it says here in the next slide, about that time there arose no little disturbance concerning the way, for a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who makes silver shrines of Artemis, bought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, "Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. And you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying the gods made with hands are not gods. And there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be disposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worship. In one sense, Demetrius was quite prophetic. Who worships Diana now today? Nobody. But Demetrius saw the power of the gospel. And then in his own context, there was a disturbance in the force. Business was bad. They need to do something. And then there was a riot. Paul came to this city not just to change the culture, but now he also challenged the culture. This is what the gospel is about. We are not here just to look pretty, people. We don't come here just to worship and say how great thou art, but we go and demonstrate the power of God wherever we are. We are not here to just to change life. There are times we may even have to challenge the culture of our time. And this is when we walk in our God-given authority, demons, I tell you, will manifest themselves, but you can just tell them, you know. And sometimes it can come in direct confrontation with us, but it's not because we are weak or because we are strong. Often we think demonic activities happen because we are weak. I'm telling you, when it manifests itself, it is always because you are strong. Remember what Jesus was doing in the desert for 40 days? He was praying and fasting. He was spiritually strong, and then the devil came to tempt him. Remember, he went to the synagogue full of the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil manifests himself. You read in every account of the gospel in Acts of the Apostles, every time there's a physical manifestation of evil spirit, it's because the Christians do not know how strong they are, that the demons themselves are now shaking. Can I have an amen? So when you see people start to manifest, you see things like this, it's because you are strong. The demons cannot help it, but fearful of what you are doing. And that's why you need to come in confrontation. Demons are more fearful than you are. They know the Holy Spirit that is in you is greater than them in the world. There's a saying that goes, some people make things happen. Some people watch things. Some people watch while things happen. And some people wonder what happened. You know? We are not supposed to be those kind of people that wonder what happened, but rather we are the kind who make things happen. And sometimes we think idols. You know, we live in Australia. There's no such thing called idols. We think idols are little figurines that you find in temples or in shrines somewhere in Asia or Africa. I'm telling you, idols are anything that you carry in your heart that give you a false sense of security. It could be your position in life, your wealth, your health, can be anything. By itself, it's not wrong. But when these things gives you a false sense of security, that is where you will manifest also. And how do I know these things gives me a false sense of security? Because I need these things to give me a place in life. And when I no longer have these things in position, oh, I feel I'm lesser. I begin to be fearful. The truth is this. When we walk in the gospel truth, all the idols that we carry have to go. It will manifest itself. For some of us, money is an idol. For some of us, health can be an idol. Do we need money? Of course. Do we need good health? Of course. But these things can be either. Our position in life can be either. Where we stay can be an idol. Because these anything that gives us a false sense of security will one day manifest itself, and this is where we must make that decision. Is Jesus Christ still Lord of everything? There's so much more I can share with you, but basically I'm going to close right now. It is about here we need to make a decision. Is Jesus my greatest blessing, or Jesus is my greatest threat? Is Jesus my greatest blessing, or Jesus is my greatest threat? Am I among the 12 who did not have a full understanding of the gospel, but when I understood the gospel, here Jesus Christ came. And the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit never leaves me. Am I among the sick, those who are demon possessed, when Paul began to minister the gospel, I am set free? Or I'm trying to be the sons of Sceva. Jesus' name is just magic. It's just a spell. Or I am like Demetrius. my future feels insecure because I saw the truth of who God is. And God will continue to manifest himself to us. Is Jesus my greatest blessing, or Jesus my greatest threat? Let's all rise and let's just pray. I just want to give an opportunity to anyone here. Today you hear the gospel declared to you. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have never called him Lord or King, I just want to give you the opportunity to respond. And say, yes, Pastor, my life has been filled with a lot of false security, but I know Jesus is my all in all. I want to give you the opportunity to just respond. If you never give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. But for some of us, we have this relationship that I can only use the word like a dry spell. We know God is there, but we do not have the intimate knowledge, intimate relationship. That question is for you. Have you received the Spirit when you believe? Is God real to you? Raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want God to be real to me as he was with Paul, with Peter, anyone. Don't let this day go by and just come going out feeling the same way as you have felt. That life just passed you by without the power of God. Yes, I see your hands. Anyone else? If you so desire and hunger for more of God's righteousness working, just raise your hand as a sign of submission to the Father and say, Lord, I believe, I receive. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I pray for everyone here that, Lord, as you have shown me your glory years ago, show them your glory. As you were so real to me, Father, I just pray you will be so real to them that every day they know what it means to experience your tangible presence. That, Father, I pray you set us all free for all our false security, that only Jesus Christ is seen in us and make alive in us. In Jesus' name, Amen.